too many Tic Tacs in the town.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 3:38 starting time. Please welcome from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Matthew Wiley. Play away, please.
Oh, just another banger to intro the podcast. Golflandia 147. Bum, 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 bum. And who is that? It's Tijuana Panthers. New Boots. Tijuana Panthers is the artist. New Boots is the name of the song. That is the most anxiety I get during a podcast is when I play a new track that I found over the weekend. And I don't write down the band, and I don't have Spotify pulled up because I know there's a lot of audio files out there waiting to correct me. Case in point, Billy Ho, when I said, song I can listen to and always be happy, mine was Safety Dance, and I said it was Men at Work, and he said, no, it wasn't. It's Men Without Hats. I don't know why I said Men at Work. I was testing you, Billy Ho. Not the Billy Ho, but a Billy Ho. Yeah, 147. A lot of golf this week, actually. It started today. Of course, Jazz Jane wanted it on. Did not win again! If that guy wins the Colonial, because I think he's in the field, he is in the field, I will absolutely die. I will die. I will be on the floor dead. Cactus Tour, KLPGA. We've got showdowns tomorrow for Outlaw. The real stuff's coming at Colonial. And don't worry, I'm not going to insert, bad word, not going to put any boner ads in the broadcast today like I did last time. That's a new sponsor, by the way, Get Roman. So, yeah, I'm going to do a lot of those reads. I kind of like doing them. I know you guys ordered it. The match last weekend, let me give you the obviously the Tiger, Phil, Peyton, Tom Brady match from Medalist, which is better than Seminole. Don't even at me. I've played neither of them, but from an optic standpoint, layout, just overall view, architecture, routing, Medalist. Membership, Medalist. And then I saw, then I watched the 2012 Ryder Cup, which is on the Golf Channel afterwards, from Medina, which is better than all of them. By the way, Webb Simpson had a really not good stretch of holes in the singles matches. But the match, the good and the great. Here's the great. I'm not going to say good because it was great. Number one, charity raised $1 trillion. And then you had all these mega wealthy athletes weighing in, donating money, making sure that they, you know, were getting seen and heard, which is fine because they were putting their cash up. The great, the thing that carried the whole thing was Phil and his he just carried the whole broadcast with Justin Thomas. And Charles Barkley, got to give him credit too. He was actually quite funny. But Phil explaining his wedge shots and then executing it perfectly. And then JT, it was like Bones McKay with just a little more, you know, Don Rickles in him. A little more bite. The thing about those two guys is they're exceptionally bright. Justin Thomas is exceptionally bright. In order to be able to do that, live television, first time, and do it so well, he's very bright. And I think that I only watched sporadically probably half of it, but really Peyton and Brady from a content standpoint were not as much of a factor as Phil was. And Brady eating it for eight holes was great because, and then in typical Brady fashion, has that wedge shot on the par five for eagle, which was unbelievable, which completely wiped out everything but negative he'd done to that point. And he was terrible. I mean, he could not, he completely forgot how to golf. I believe someone asked whether or not he's just a vanity handicap. Charlie R. Cross, 1919. Thoughts on Tom Brady, vanity, 8 handicap. I mean, I believe he's an 8 handicap. I mean, you can still shoot 90s and, you know, have a 78 one day and still be an 8 handicap and not play a ton of golf. But you could see it on the range with him, and I posted a video. Prior to him getting interviewed by Balionis, you could see him warming up. And he's what, 6'5", 230? He's a very athletic, powerful person. If he really wanted to, he could hit the ball an absolute mile. But he was swinging like he was swinging through concrete, like swinging a pool noodle on that driving range. And I just thought, he's really nervous. Because you do that when you're an 8, 10, 12 handicap. You lose your swing. You underswing. You don't swing hard enough because you're so worried about all the fundamentals. And he had played 18 holes in the morning, I think, and admitted that he was nervous, which was clear. And when you don't play golf a lot enough, and this happened to me several times over the last year, you completely lose your swing. You forget how to correct. And so that's what I'm doing every day, hitting 100, 200 balls just to break my swing down into elements so I know exactly what is going on at each moment and why, if something does go wrong, I know what's causing it versus just losing it. Yeah, I mean, Tom Brady could probably shoot a 78. He could very well shoot a 208. He was definitely in his own head. But, you know, he can certainly change gears too. Overall, I thought it was really good. The cable viewing evidently was all-time high. Now, I don't think there's a lot of difference between cable and network. Like, cable meaning TNT and network being or CBS. Because I know Colin Cowherd had that tweet that it... Well, here's Colin Cowherd's tweet. Ratings are in from yesterday's golf exhibition, the most watched telecast in cable TV history, 6 million peeps. The whole personality and fun thing sort of works PGA Tour. Stop playing to the diehards. They're not going anywhere. Mostly too old to get out of their recliners. Okay, in 2020, there's not a lot of airwave people broadcast, so CBS to me is as cable as TNT. The Masters with Tiger Woods the Sunday when he won, 2019, that was 10 million viewers on Sunday. So yeah, it was CBS, but it was still 10 million viewers. This wasn't the largest golf audience in history of television. Because I think cable and network are just synonymous now. Secondly, it wasn't just personality and fun that made this tour event successful. Did you notice something on the bottom of the screen every hole? Gambling. I mean, it wasn't this back and forth, you know, Jeff Ross roast. They're just not that way, really. I mean, I don't think any of them are super talkative except for Phil. They were trying to be polite about it. They were very aware of the cameras on them at all times. And so it wasn't like super outgoing and fun, but it was the only professional sports event on for the longest time. It had four of the most popular, famous athletes in the history of the world. There was nothing else on, plus the gambling. So in the regard of that tweet from Colin Cowherd, when he said golf has enough personality and fun. I agree that sometimes the broadcast gets in its own way, but I don't want fun yuck-yuckville golf. I want Euro Tour style broadcast. We don't need it in 2020. I don't need to be the NFL or the NBA with glitz and glamour. I don't need the Fox Sports world of things. I don't need Michael Irvin on the panel. We need less. I mean, really, a lot of this was just golfers talking shop. The most interesting thing, again, was Phil breaking down what he's going to do and then actually doing it. Or JT analyzing every shot, much like Bones McKay does. But don't give me yuck-yuckville fun personality. There needs to be less personalities in golf. Broadcasting. Let the play it for itself. You know what's driving it? Gambling! That's what it is. IMO. Golf is fine. Boomers. So stop weighing in. He doesn't know golf, Colin Cowherd. Gosh. But older people on Twitter getting riled up. Kyle Porter, who was hilarious, by the way. Kyle Porter posted something about, what did he post about? Let me pull it up. Again, I'm not ready. Here it is. Kyle Porter posted, doing some Phil research today and sitting here staring at the 40-win PGA Tour 5-major club. It's amazing. You know, Tiger, Snead, Nicholas, Hogan, Palmer, Nelson, Hagen, Phil. So Gary Player weighs in immediately after and said, so my 165 global victories are simply disregarded? There are lies, damn lies, and statistics. Good luck, Kyle. Thanks a lot. Pissed at Kyle Porter. Much like Peter Kessler was pissed at Money Q Info about statistics. Imagine dying on the hill getting angry at people who like statistics. I love random statistics like this. I live for it. But they can't get over that the world is changing and there are different interests and the light may not shine on them as much anymore. And that a loose grip on the spotlight and the power is shifting to other people who provide different content. Oh my God, welcome to 2020. But Kyle Porter, in most every instance, when Gary Player or someone of his caliber responds back and says, thanks a lot, these are lies, good luck, you piece of shit, you did not include me in your stats for 40 win 5 majors. Kyle Porter responds to Gary Player saying, but did you ever win in Memphis? That's great. That made me actually LOL. So no, to get back to it, people weighing in on golf who don't watch golf. Golf has enough personality. It's fun enough. Don't at the PGA Tour. It's good. There needs to be less personalities in broadcasting. The play needs to speak for itself. Bird singing, Euro Tour model, experts talking. When it's important. Who know the game. That's what's good. Everything else will carry the rest. Period. Stamp it. But good for DraftKings. That's the first time I've seen it in golf on the bottom half of the screen. And I think someone asked me, does this is Tone Zone 1. Tony Ferraro. Does the success of the match translate into any future changes in golf coverage moving forward? I think so, yes. That's it. I mean, maybe not as ostentatious as that and showy and in your face with prop betting, but the integration, you see, they gave it a shot, you see. It's a test vehicle. And I think it went over okay. So yeah, I do believe it changes a lot of the future in golf. A lot more spotlight on the players themselves. A lot more what-if questions from the books side of things. At least they're trying. So go long on DraftKings if you're into the option game. By the way, a few people DM'd me after my options talk last week. It's the ultimate in stock gambling. Like me and Andy Dirty Rush are starting a Discord, Optionlandia, if you want to be part of it. Elite membership only. High cost of access, zero. I told him, am way long on Lowe's, $116 calls, Starbucks for next week. The market's going to blow up in the good sense. 25.5 Dow Jones. Watch it. Big week next week. Go long. I think the airlines come back for at least a bounce. But go long on DraftKings. Get some futures on that. What, $30 calls? All day. They're losing money. Who cares? Lots of companies lose money. All these biotech companies, biopharma companies, they all lose money. Stocks are worth a fortune. Who cares? The money from companies like Hertz are going to have to go somewhere. All right, questions. Optionlandia, you want to join? Do you want to join? You want to know the password? Questions. That was just me stalling to get to the questions. Thoughts on Tom? I already said Tom Brady's vanity 8 handicap. I believe he is an 8, but I also believe he likes being an 8. I believe he can shoot a good round of golf. He's got a really nice swing. But he didn't know how to correct it. He was completely deer in the headlights. He is not used to being not looking the best. And he did not look good at all for 8 holes. Wiley's burner, not actually me. Is Tiger going to win the Masters? No. I don't believe he's going to win the Masters this year. A little colder in the fall. I don't know if he's 100% with his back. We shall see. I don't know if he's 1,000% healthy, albeit he looked good last weekend or yesterday. Real good. Are you team pull card or team carry? David Rocket, the shimmy 37. I am team carry. Ryan Tompkins, Maroon 44. Did you weigh in on this pick from Tour Picks? Post a shot on a par 3. Okay, so Joe Idun had a picture of a par 3, 187. He hit the ball and it bounced off the styrofoam insert, which they have at golf courses if you haven't played, so you don't pull out the pin and contaminate the course with COVID. And he's pretty sure it bounced off the foam insert. And he wants to know if it's a hole in one. My response was, is the ball in the hole? Unfortunately, there's just no holes in ones. Holes in ones. Hole in ones. It was a solid birdie, yes. But it's a firm negative for a hole-in-one. I'm sorry. Josh, Lasershow03, thoughts on the Barstool Golf guys? I would never take picks from them and only listen to pod when they have good interviews, but I do like their videos and think they're good for golf and young demographic and standing up against older sports writers. Yes. I don't listen to them either. Naturally, I would think that I have a lot better thoughts about how golf on a content network as big as that should be structured. Condense that statement to, I think I could do a better job. But overall, I think Dave Portnoy, I don't necessarily agree with everything he says, but I completely respect what he's built. To take on titans like ESPN and Fox Sports and build what he has done through hard work and effort and a lot of risk-taking, and then in the face of a lot of people probably who couldn't say he could do it, and it's done from sweat equity, I can tell you. He earned every dollar of that money he's got now that he's losing going long on Alibaba. But yeah, I think, his battle against the suits, I could not agree more with. You know, a lot of people want to take from him because they are just so used to getting things handed to them because they're from a different class. He's taking a suit on right now, which is very funny. So I don't know much about their golf content. Other things I'd improve on it, of course. But a lot of respect for what that guy has built over there. And he's held a lot of the content together for the network every day, every night, losing a lot of money day trading, and then opening boxes at night, which I think is and plus what I really like is that he's very much pro small business. And so all these pizza reviews, in reality, he's giving these small businesses such a boost. I mean, I in fact went on a couple of them. Zapardi's, I think, is his number one, just to order some. And you know, these guys are selling out. And I know he's trying to help funnel money to these organizations. It's just great. I thought it was a really noble effort. Uses his platform to help out the little guy. I am completely on board with that. Some of the Trump stuff, meh. But on board with that. Totes. Totally. All right, let's get to actual golf. Is that all the questions? I'm so bad at reading. So we have Outlaw Tour tomorrow. Okay. Here's who now, John Oda is in the field. And I, of course, will be totally swooning for John Oda. But every time a better golfer, a more highly ranked pro comes into these Outlaw Tour level fields with a long layoff, and what's Oda? Hasn't played in 14 weeks? Something like that? Just getting a warm-up? They're not going to go in and beat these guys who've been playing week to week and are very, very good. Like Sam Triplett. Sam Triplett can pour in a ton of birdies. Yates playing every week. These guys are excellent. They're not in front of a huge crowd. They're in areas that they are familiar with playing. It's their home turf. They know each other. They play week to week. They're comfortable, which says a lot. Like Tom Brady on his own playing golf at his country club could probably shoot a lot better than on national television playing with Phil and Tiger when he knows everyone is tweeting every little shot he's doing and wants him to fail. Of course it's going to have an effect on your psyche. So the same thing is when you're in your own comfort zone at your home course, even playing week to week, you're going to play better. Unless you're Carlotta Segonda, who just waxed the field on the Cactus. So I love John Oda. I don't expect him to come in and just beat these guys because they are fucking good. They're playing great. These guys are the same ones, like Zach Smith, who beat Joel Damon, who beat J.J. Spahn several times, who beat Colt Knost, USAM winner. They're good. And so I'm going deep. I'm going long on Sammy Triplett, birdie machine. He's playing as well as anyone on this tour. He finished second last week in a playoff. I love Sam Triplett. Also like Eddie Olson. I mean, if you're talking DraftKings pricing, I think these guys fit both on the game on the betting side outright. I think Triplett 16-1. Olson is in that area. Woroski. All these guys had a ton of birdies last week. Johnson, Neil. Sanchez. Is it Anthony? There's another Sanchez. I'm not sure if they're related. Mitch Carlson. I will continue to back Mitch Carlson. Norman Jeong, Panda, is in this field. He hasn't played in what? Over 20 weeks? I mean, he's 20-1, but does he play great? He's 21 years old in fields that he should? I mean, these guys are incentivized to beat these guys who come from other tours. They want this money. Olson, Funk, Triplett, Woroski. Brady Culkins is out. I like Yates, but he seems to not be able to finish it off. And a lot of people like Charlie Saxon, 12-week layoff. But there it is. But I am going all in, 5-star, 5-diamond, 10.0, swoosh, 3-pointer, and the foul, Triplett. Home run, grand slam, touchdown, field goal. Triplett. That's all you got. Is it going to be fun and engaging and have Tom Brady? No. Are people still going to watch it? Yes. And pay attention? Yes. Why? Showdowns, gambling. Don't need more Yuck Yuckville. Just need more good golfers. Until number 148.